Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care.
Listening to Wolf Mountain Radios, honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Oh!
the Saskatchewan Thunderchild Reserve drum, High Noon, off their Canyon Records CD entitled Have Drum Will Travel. That song was a grand entry, the first song you hear at a powwow. The grand entry welcomes the honor guard, tribal elders, distinguished guests, and dances into the powwow arena. It is always a special sight to watch prior to the powwow's prayer invocation to the Great Spirit. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yacht Kitishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast is Program 7 of our special Smart Meme interview series. We will be sharing my conversation with a young warrior brother, Ras Kadi. In today's program, we focus on a very special organization, Smart Mimi, and its youth leadership program, STORY, Strategy, Training, and Organizing Resources for Youth. Yacht Kitishi Native Center is an intertribal, cultural, environmental, social justice, and news media organization is dedicated to promoting a global culture of peace, justice, and ecological health for all life. This vision is at the core of all of Yacht Kitishi Native Center's programs and projects. One major emphasis of our work is mentoring and encouraging youth, our future generation, to empower themselves to work for a better world. We do this by networking with various student and youth movements involved with cultural, social, racial, economic, environmental peace, justice, and anti-globalization issues. One example of Yacht Kitishi Native Center's support of youth is our journalism project, Communications for Community Activists, which trains young activists in messaging and media skills. Messaging, media, and campaign promotion skills are essential for getting one's voice heard. This is the case for many communities and concerns that have often been unnoticed in society or not reported on by the mainstream press. Communications is especially important when fighting for justice. As example, when government or industry actions threaten the well-being of a community and our Mother Earth. Another organization that shares this mission is Smart Mimi. Smart Mimi is a national holistic strategy project that links storytelling and social change to strengthen grassroots community groups. Smart Mimi, like Yacht Kitishi Native Center, believes in the power of organizing through the power of memes, which are ways of expression of a community's narrative. Narrative is another term for storytelling, a way of giving voice, a way of expression. Story is a lens through which we process information we encounter. Cultural, emotional, experiential, political. It is the way a person or community can portray themselves or how others view them. Memes are bits of cultural information that tell our stories. They are a way of communicating a culture's history and wisdoms, current situations, and vision for the future. Depending on who tells or how a narrative is told, that story could unite or divide people, obscure certain issues, or spotlight others. A story can inform and enlighten, or it can also be used to deceive, mislead, cover up, or falsify the truth. Understanding communications, analyzing and examining messaging, which has so much influence in the state of the world, especially now in the information age of the 21st century, is a critical necessity if we are to create a global culture of peace and justice. A good example are the numerous public relations campaigns by business and industry that should really be called public deception campaigns. Smart Meme, like Yacht Kitishi Native Center, has supported a range of grassroots issues by providing strategy organizing to various activist groups around North America. Yacht Kitishi Native Center over the years has had the honor to partner with Smart Meme at several of these events. One very special gathering was Smart Meme's national training known as Insight, Insight. Insight, Insight was a 3-day training retreat focused on organizing, strategy, storytelling, and reflection. It was a space for youth to plan and strengthen their activism. I was invited to be one of several elders to share experience and promote intergenerational and cross-cultural learning. Smart Meme's 3-day Insight, Insight storytelling, movement building, and creating a cultural strategy training was held in the traditional homeland of the Penacook Indian Nation in what is now present-day central and southern New Hampshire. This northeast woodland Merrimack River watershed is a beautiful area of forest, hills, lakes, and ponds, very similar to my neighboring Wabanaki tribal territory. The conference site, Owl's Nest Lodge on Bradley Lake, is in the shadow of Gawas Iwajo, Windfall Mountain known as Mount Kearsarge. Gawas Iwajo is a place I know well due to the nearby Mount Kearsarge Indian Museum, where for a time I often lecture to visitors on the cultural history of Northeast Woodland Indigenous peoples. Smart Meme Strategy and Training Project was founded to support struggles for justice, peace, democracy, and an ecological future. Smart Meme are people who believe in the power of ideas, the power of collective wisdom of communities, and the power of stories to change the world for the better. These are values and principles Yad Kiddushi Nehru Center believes in, and is why Yad Kiddushi Nehru Center is honored to network and support Smart Meme whenever we can. We urge all of our worldwide listeners to likewise appreciate and support Smart Meme. My guest today on Wolf Mountain Radio, Mr. Ross Cunningham, better known as Ross Kadi, is Pomo Indian and African American. He exemplifies the strong spirit of many young brothers who are proud of their ancestral heritage while caring about contemporary global justice. Pomo are an indigenous people of what's now called Northern California. Historically, the Pomo were known as Kulanapa, referring to 7 distinct tribal dialects within the Pomo homeland. Pomos lived in small groups, subsisting from fishing, hunting, and gathering. Traditional cultural lifeways, as with most native peoples, were greatly devastated by contact with the arrival of Europeans. Spanish missionaries forced many Pomo into concentration camps called Christian missions. Many died there. In 1837, a smallpox epidemic wiped out entire bands. In the mid-18th century, white man's greed for land and gold further decimated the few surviving Pomo peoples. In what's now called Northern California, there are 5 present-day Pomo communities: Coyote Valley, Elm Indian, Redwood Valley, Gratan Rancheria, and Round Valley. Like many tribal peoples everywhere, the Pomo are trying to restore their native ways, protect their sacred lands, while living in the 21st century. Yad Kiddushi Native Center sends our prayers for their success. I am especially honored to interview Ross Kadi, since I listen to the excellent weekly KPFA Native Radio program, Bay Native Circle, which Ross Kadi co-hosts along with Lakota Hardin and Janine Antoine. Bay Native Circle is similar to our Yad Kiddushi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio, broadcasting Native news, interviews, music, and community cultural events in the Oakland, California area. Ross's radio show, in particular, reaches out to many youth, especially young people of color who often lack a voice in media or in society. Ross is also a co-founder of SNAG Magazine, which means Seventh Native American Generation. Written and illustrated by Native American youths, Snag Magazine is a forum for young people's essays, poetry, photographs, and illustrations, which certainly hardly ever get published in mainstream journals. Last but not least, Ross Cadee is not only a student at City College of San Francisco, but is a musician whose band released a new album entitled Street Prison. I am very, very proud to now welcome Mr. Ross Cadee to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices.
Yagui, my name is Ross Cadee. I come from California, what is now called California, San Francisco Bay Area. I'd like to start off the program by saying Yagui, and it means thank you in Pomo, in the Pomo language. I'm a half Pomo and half African. That's what represents me. I'm a whole being, so I hate to say half, but I'm African and Pomo, Afro-Pomo. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to speak and be here with you, and I'm honored to have a chance to talk with you, have a discussion on your program.
In today's program introduction, I mentioned how I was looking forward to and how special it is for me to interview a fellow Native journalist. As I said, I've been a longtime listener to KPFA's Bay Native Circle weekly radio show, which you are a co-host. It is one of the finest indigenous radio programs on the air. Ross, would you please inform Wolf Mountain Radio's worldwide listeners about Bay Native Circle's radio program?
Thank you for that. I look forward to tuning into your program as well. I wasn't aware of it until we met here, but I'm glad that we've made the connection. For those listeners out there, please tune in. You can go to our website at kpfa.org and listen to us online. I'm streaming live every Wednesday from 2 to 3. If you're in the Bay Area, you can catch us on 94.1, and that's KPFA, Bay Native Circle. Our program is similar in issue and focus as Onus's program, and we do a lot of the similar type of interviews. I think, really, our program started as we needed to have a place in the community radio in our area. And there had been other programs such as ours sustain themselves for long periods of time. We've recently had a chance, an opportunity, and it just came about that it was timing, you know, just like with everything. The organizers at the radio station were looking for more diverse programming. We presented the proposal, and we got accepted to do the program. It's been a blessing to have different voices. Last week we had a program on a Native suicide, and there was a Native brothers and sisters from Minnesota that are doing a lot of work with Red Lake and the community there, as well as the different reservations in Minnesota and South Dakota, North Dakota. They did an ancestral run, and they did a lot of programming around the issues of suicide. It's beautiful to have young voices on the radio as well. We've had several young voices on our program. We had Gabriel Duncan on a couple weeks back, and he's a young Native poet from the area and also a writer that had an article published in Snag Magazine, which is another publication. I'm also a part of, I'm one of the co-editors, co-founders of Snag Magazine as well, which is a Native youth publication out of the Bay Area, Oakland, San Francisco. We've had all types of different voices on our program. You know, we had John Trudell a few weeks back talking about different issues. We actually had got his opinion on what was going on in New Orleans, which was really good to get a Native perspective on the tragedies there in New Orleans and the lack of government support. It's been a good road. You know, we've been on for about a year and a half now. I'd like to give much respect to Janine Anton and Lakota Hardin and Karina Gold and Greg McVicker, some of the other people that were involved helping to get that program started, and I have a lot of respect for those folks.
You know, it's been over 200 years since the gold was discovered here. It was against the law at that time to be Indian.
Liable to destroy our own rivers and metals. The same man that put us on reserves and ghettos. The same man that's on those dirty dollar bills that you praise. The same white collar ballers that be treating you like slaves.
Oh, Great Spirit, grandfather, grandmother, thank you for this beautiful red day you've given us, and thank you for our lives.
Hello, my relatives. This is Lakota Hardin here at Bay Native Circle.
You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. That last sound clip you just heard was the introduction audio to the weekly KPFA's native radio show, Bay Native Circle, which I often listen to on the internet. I have the pleasure to be speaking with one of Bay Native Circle's program's hosts, Mr. Ross Kadee. Ross is a native brother of Pomo Indian and African American heritage. He is co-editor of the youth magazine Snag and a college student. In addition, Ross is a talented musician that performs many places. His band has recently released a new CD entitled Street Soldier. Ross Kadee is quite active in the youth justice movement, as evident in his participation here at the Smart Meme National Youth Conference training. This brings me to my next question regarding what are some of the concerns and issues important to your generation. We are now in the 21st century, which in many ways is quite different from the last half of the 20th century that I grew up in. One major example important to Yad Kiddushi Native Center is many Native people, especially Native youth, due to U.S. Indian policy, such as the termination and relocation era, now live mostly in urban areas. Many of your generation have not had the benefit of being raised within traditional Indian culture as much as me and many of my generation who were brought up in rural reservations, which still maintain some of our cultural lifeways. While I know you can only speak for yourself, that you don't pretend to represent indigenous people or even students and youth, however, as a young brother, would you share some thoughts about what are important concerns of young people of your generation?
I definitely would like to start off by saying that I don't represent all indigenous peoples, or I don't even really represent my tribe for that matter. I just represent myself, and my own personal experiences are different than that of everyone else. I definitely wanted to say, though, that I believe that the differences between your generation and, say, my generation are very different. You know, our experiences are very different. A lot of the work that I do with the magazine, with the radio show, is geared towards urban Native people. I understand that, you know, and I understand that urban Native people are becoming the majority among Native people. I have a problem with that as well. I think that a lot of our teachings are rooted in the earth. All of our teachings are rooted in the earth. I would just say that I think young people today have a lot of different experiences as far as being bombarded with technology, being bombarded with alternatives which aren't healthy, being bombarded with music and experiences in the streets and in the concrete jungle that isn't necessarily a healthy lifestyle, but it's manufactured and it's accepted that it is a way of life. And so I think a lot of young people accept it as the reality and don't have the alternatives, the traditions, the songs, and the land and resources of the land to access it in a way that can benefit them and their health. I believe that seeing both perspectives, because I do have family that live on the reservation, seeing another perspective of that is, you know, sometimes when I go back to the res, that's when I feel the most disempowered, just because I see the human resources and I see the land potential. I see the availability of resources, you know, clean water resources, fish and access to land and hunting and food. And I feel disempowered because I don't see the human resources being able to develop those into something that's sustainable or creating sustainable communities. More of the young people are getting involved in unhealthy practices. And so I feel like it's real discouraging sometimes even to go back on the res. It seems like most of my education around alternatives comes from folks my age that are in the cities. And that's just interesting. A lot of my ancestral teachings, you know, definitely come from the ceremonies and from the elders. The teachings around land and around respect for the land, the teachings around the ceremonies and the songs and the dances that go with those songs, the medicines that go with those songs and the plants and everything like that. A lot of those teachings are definitely brought forth by the people and by the elders. But my alternative education, what I mean by that is learning about alternative energy and learning about new ways that we can sustain ourselves in a healthy way instead of this Babylon system that has been established. And so I think there's a way that we can, as Native youth, walk forward in a way that we respect our teachings, our ancestors' teachings, but also respect the earth, and but then also utilize the technology to be beneficial, but in a way that's respectful to the earth. And I think that's kind of our road that we have to bridge those gaps, because we're young people, because some of our elders don't know how to use computers. We need to be there learning how to use them and to bring that stuff into our communities to develop our story and our own history and create it in a way that is accessible and available for people to understand our stories.
Looking for loot and lump sum. Corporation, same place you got that gun from. They want motivation, keeping you poor, blind, and dumb. Altercation, meaning you go against the grain. In the land of the meek and weak, got you in chains, or you shot like 10 times a Hama do Diallo. If they let you rise up, there'll be soon more to follow. They recognize, strategize, every year they colonize. They get their lies televised, got you ill-advised. They use trick knowledge, and politics. They learn a trick, holler, they keep tricking your trick dollars.
Music from today's Wolf Mountain Radio program guest, my young warrior brother, Mr. Ross Kadi. The name of the song from his CD is Battle Cry. Ross, one very important subject that has been on this Smart Meme Story conference agenda is the issue of racism and xenophobia. This topic is a critical issue, especially if there are to be successful coalitions of people working together for a better and more just world. During last evening's Elder Circle, where the four of us older activists were invited to share our experiences, we all spoke about racism and discrimination each of us have experienced as people of color. I mentioned several anti-Indian hate groups that have long targeted Native reservations, as seen in the still ongoing attacks against indigenous hunting and fishing rights. I also talked about how during my youth, Native people were not welcomed in white restaurants or other business establishments in town nearby our Indian reservations. So it is fair to say that it has taken me many years to purge a lot of my dislike and distrust of non-Indians and to judge each person individually by their actions, not by their ethnicity. This, by the way, is a traditional ethic of tribal peoples. Ross, you and I spoke in the past few days together a little bit about the issue of racism, not only how both of us, people of color, have been treated, but also how our personal attitudes towards white people have at times also been disrespectful and perhaps racist. I believe racism and xenophobia by any person or group needs to be eradicated. Would you please share any thoughts you have on this important subject?
I grew up in Northern California, about an hour north of San Francisco, in the Sonoma County area. I grew up in an experience of growing up in institutions that were oppressive in nature, and it was apparent to me at a very young age that they were oppressive in nature. Growing up around other young people who were racist, and it definitely had an effect on me psychologically. It had an effect on me, on my spirit, wanting to be something that I was not, wanting to be white, and knowing that I could never be that. And so it definitely affected me in my identity, and it slowed my process to becoming who I am, which is relatively new. If you would have asked me like 5 years ago, who am I? Or maybe like 6, 7 years ago, who are you? I probably would still be rather confused. And so I think those things slowed my process. And because I was just like so many other Native peoples, African peoples, all over, because we have been oppressed in these institutions and because we continue to be discriminated against and given less opportunities, just put in situations where the odds were stacked against us and the resources were less available. Because of that, people of color, we've had resistance to work with white people, and I think that that's an ongoing struggle. Working with white folks has been a definite struggle for our communities because of that oppressive institutions, because we were always taught to look up to our white teachers and respect them, and because most of the police and systems of oppression that are readily available are white, and because of the media that perpetuates the white family as a healthy family, and anything of color is not celebrated. It wasn't even until recently, our recent generation, that we were even able to celebrate our culture on mainstream media. And so I think that's very significant in understanding the oppressive nature. And I mean, if you look at even all the new TV shows that have premiere week, and they're airing all the premiere TV shows, and had them on the flight when I was coming over here, every single show was a white show. All the major characters were white. And it just shows that the oppressive nature and the psychology behind it is there. You have to be really aware of that, you know, and all the psychology that goes behind those images to teach young kids, to teach young brown kids, it's not okay to celebrate your identity. And so all those things go into the inner workings of our communities. And so when we have opportunities to work with white folks, and we get blessed with white folks who are actually dedicated to our causes, we're reluctant to work with them. And I think that goes across the board, and I echo the sentiments of a lot of Native peoples from North and South, as well as African and others. So I just wanted to say that I definitely am working on that. You know, I'm working on being able to trust my instincts on who I should work with, regardless of color. I think that our struggle is a unified struggle, and in order for us to heal this world together, we're going to have to work together at that.
Speaking out about.
In addition to being a talented singer-songwriter, Ross is a co-founder editor of Snag Magazine, a forum by and for youth. Snag Magazine's mission statement very well explains Indigenous peoples' understanding spoken by young Native people of Snag. And I quote, "We are Snag, the seventh Native American generation. In every move we make, we strive to consider the impact of our decisions on the next seven generations of people that will follow us. We strive to spread knowledge and positivity in a world that is too often infected with miseducation, ignorance, and hate. While we do not have the solutions to all the problems plaguing our world, our daily struggle involves searching for the answers. Snag is an open forum for all youth who want to share their voices with the community," unquote. Ross Cadiz is also a co-host of KPFA's Native radio show, Bay Native Circle. Bay Native Circle is an excellent weekly Indian radio program listened to on the internet at www.kpfa.org. Ross Cadiz is a young brother of Pomo Indian and African American heritage. He exemplifies the warrior spirit of his fine youth generation that I'm so honored to be able to advise and learn from. Ross, it is indeed an honor to have you as my guest today on Wolf Mountain Radio. So my next question is about one of the most serious concerns of your Kedishi Native Center and Indigenous peoples everywhere in Indian country, namely the loss of traditional cultural knowledge, loss of tribal history, loss of Indian languages, and the continuation of traditional spiritual beliefs and ceremony, especially with Native youth who must deal with life in the 21st century. Traveling around Indian country, as I have done for many years, I do see many positive things by Native youth. The increasing number of university students, revitalization of arts, music, dance, and Native theater, young people working in tribal government and at Indian centers, and more Native youth's respect for our traditional spirituality, ceremonial ways, give me reason to be proud as well as hope for our future generations. Yet there is still a lot to be worried about with Indian youth and the future well-being of our Indian nations. Alcoholism, drug abuse, gangs, high rates of incarceration, lack of jobs, poverty, domestic violence, and dysfunctional family life also plagues Indian country. What thoughts or advice do you have about this critical condition?
Well, I think the most important thing that we can do as Native peoples as a whole, as a collective, is to, no matter what, try and relate to those young people that are in gangs. I feel like, as another young person that wasn't necessarily a part of a gang specifically, but I'm come from that generation of youth who are rebellious and have that warrior spirit, and I look at that as, you know, for them to get organized enough to form a gang is beautiful. But for them to organize that gang and to not be knowledgeable of their culture, not be knowledgeable of where they're directing that energy is another thing, and it becomes a destructive in nature. So I think that we need to work with those youngsters and then relate to them in other ways through their mediums, like music, and teach those ceremonial ways. It comes easier from our peers. So like other young people that are out there doing this work, I commend you, because if you're working with other young people in your community, you're basically carrying the torch, you know, because a lot of elders can't connect with young folks. And so it's really on us as young people to work with other youngsters and to be in the community and, you know, utilize, you know, our indigenous languages, utilize our traditional songs as well as hip hop, as well as other popular education tools like workshops and seminars and teach-ins, and utilizing those tools as well as relating to frames of reference, you know. And I think that that's the best thing we can do as far as dealing with the cultural aspect. There's been a lot lost in colonization. There's been a lot lost, and we definitely are dealing with historical trauma. And us as youngsters are dealing with it even more. I feel that way because I feel like the adults have had an opportunity to experience a lot of the history by being in the struggle and dealing with the laws of enforcement that didn't allow us to have our songs in our ways. And so you learn to appreciate that more right away. You learn to fight for it more right away. And some have learned to assimilate more. But they've lived that history and they lived those experiences, whereas the young people today are reflective of those that assimilated, those that were ashamed to learn their culture and carry that forward. And so we're unaware of even our historical trauma, which makes it even worse. And so I think that when we have those issues of depression and those issues of self-identity crisis and those issues of substance abuse and those issues of violence and all that, all those things, those can all be traced back to lack of not knowing our roots because of assimilation, because of historical trauma. We aren't able to learn our own history, and so those things affect how we interact with each other, affect how we relate to one another and communicate with one another. And so all those things, I think, contribute to our own lack or our own ability to communicate with spirit, our own ability to understand and respect those ceremonial ways. And I also think it is the elders' responsibility for those that have assimilated. You know you're out there. You know what you're doing. You know that your culture is there. You know that you're walking in a way that's imbalanced. You know that. I encourage you to take steps forward back to your culture, to take steps forward to teach those young people those things that you don't want to talk about. You need to talk about them. Those oppressive things that you've seen in your history, you need to talk about those things with the young people, because those are the things that feed their spirit. Those are the things that allow them not to feel alienation. Those are the things that allow them to feel empowered, and they learn through their history, they learn who they are.
Ross, years ago, during a personal prayer ceremony, the Spirit spoke to me of the importance of listening to, learning from, encouraging, and supporting young people, especially our Indian youth. It is your generation who will have to continue to care for Mother Earth and all life in the future. This is why Yad Kiddushin Native Center networks with various student and youth activist organizations, and why I attend youth conferences and gatherings whenever Yad Kiddushin Native Center is invited to, such as this weekend Smart Meme Story Conference. It is very, very important for older generation activists to mentor our younger brothers and sisters in order to empower young people to become leaders and carry on the important global justice struggles now in the new millennium. This is why we of Yad Kiddushin Native Center are here at the Smart Meme Gathering. So my last question to you, sir, as I thank you for speaking with me on Wolf Mountain Radio, is would you please share your thoughts about being here at this Smart Meme National Youth Gathering?
I'm honored to be here, honored to be in the presence of such great elder leadership. I come from a long history of elders who have been healers and people that were working in community, so-called activists, what people refer to as activists. I definitely enjoyed the experience here, talking with other brothers and sisters about their different organizing skills and their different struggles that they're going through. And one of the things that it's allowed me to see is a lot of the language that we use around campaigns and around the struggles is kind of over the head sometimes. You know, it's like big terms and big use of words that aren't necessarily relating to our own communities. I find that difficult to sit with, you know, because, you know, I work in Oakland and San Francisco, and I work with people of color. You know, I work with Native peoples. I work with, you know, African communities where the brothers and sisters don't necessarily use or relate to some of the concepts. I mean, so I think that's definitely been an issue. But also the issue of just thinking of in terms of power and what is power and who really has the power. And I think that concept can be explored further as well within indigenous cultures. From my own culture, I have experienced power in a different light. I experienced power through connection, through creator, through healing. That's the only term that we know for power, is healing and our connection with spirit and ancestors and creator. So if that is our premise for power, if that is our understanding of power, then a lot of how we use this type of power is to heal. I'm trying to utilize the healing teachings and the ancestral teachings to benefit the world in a good way.
Ross, I certainly feel the same way about respecting indigenous knowledge and wisdoms in order to help Mother Earth and benefit the world in a good way. Unfortunately, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together. Is there any last comment you wish to express?
I definitely appreciate Brother Onis for allowing me to speak and have this conversation this evening, and I truly respect you as an elder and a teacher, and everything that you brought to this conference here, as well as everything that you continue to bring. You know, the teachings are really important. It just makes me feel good to know that I'm in the land of your land, your historical territory, and I feel honored to have you as a guide and as a teacher here.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Well, dear friends, we are almost out of time for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. I hope you enjoyed today's program with my guest, Ross Kadee. I encourage our worldwide listeners to check out Snag Magazine at www.snagmagazine.com, as well as the Wednesday Bay Native Circle radio show at www.kpfa.org. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a song from Native warrior brother John Trudell. The song, one of my longtime favorites, is entitled Listening Honor Song from his 1983 cassette recording. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinon One Talk Percent to all of our relations.
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison, carry on the struggle. The generations surged together in resistance to meet the reality of power. Mother Earth embraces her children and natural beauty to last beyond oppressor's brutality. As the butterfly floats into life, we are the spirit of natural life, which is forever. The power of understanding, real connections to spirit, is meaning our resistance, our struggle, is not sacrifice lost. It is natural energy, properly used. One time, I was visiting with my relatives. The clouds, the mountains, the sky, the trees. My relatives touched my spirit, nudged it lovingly. Listen to us, impatient one. We are forever. You must remember the gentleness of time. You are struggling to be who you are. You say you want to learn the old ways. Struggling to learn when all you must do is remember. Remember the people. Remember sky and earth. Remember the people have always struggled to live in harmony, in peace. Struggle against selfishness and weakness so the people may live as nations. The old ways are hard. The people have always had to work together. Remember, impatient one. Remember and live. Do not be afraid of truth. Respect, discipline, share your life so the people may live. Honor sky and earth. Honor yourself. honor your relations. Remember, impatient one, the gentleness of time. Grandmother Moon, you are more than light in the night. You are more than the moon. You are spirit connection. Your energy is our life. You are memories to generations past. You are the creator of sensations that will always last. You are the knowledge, the teacher, the influence to keep the people sane. You are a healer for spirit pain. Grandmother Moon, we love you. And we are angry at the invaders who trash you and violate our universe with their mechanical uncleanliness. We pray for you, for us, and for the invader who just can't comprehend respect, love, or the balance of life. We do not join the invading madness. From the way they act, it speaks of spirit sadness. Machine money progress is the cause of our common abuse. We see you, Grandmother. We feel you. We love you. We know through your reality we will endure. We are one. We pray for you. We pray to you. Grandfather is whispering in the wind. Rejoice at the life you are a part of. Natural energy bound to natural laws. You will survive this temporary madness imposed upon you. Natural life is longer than oppressors' illusionary insanity. Spirits experience human deeds but need not end. This is just one place of changes. Spirit life is forever if you want. The universe is your home. You can survive here. Do not let them kill you. Keep your spirit strong. For distant stars and distant drums are the memories of spirit infancy. Children of Earth, let the spirit live so you can grow in your place in the universe.